ekhaya
Eita Orlando, if you call Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, if you're tuned in right now, you're tuned in to Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7 Voice of America on Tuesday, August 8th, 2021. Zimbabwe, mthokozomuhle, I'm your host, Mike Hove. Once again, Muriya Zimbabwe, if you're tuning in right now, welcome, wherever you are. If you're in Africa, good evening. If you're in America, good afternoon. Wherever you are in the world, welcome. You are tuned in to Live Talk The Connection. We're coming to you live from our studios in Washington, D.C., Muriya Zimbabwe. Tonight on The Connection, we speak to youth about the coronavirus pandemic, but we're also going to be focusing on the 2021 Washington Fellowship, the Mandela Washington Fellowship. We're going to be joined by members of the 2021 cohort and, of course, alumni. If you're looking to join us, Muriya Zimbabwe, you can call us live on air, and the number is +1 202 619 2077. For those that are streaming this conversation live on Facebook, kindly share the program with your networks. Also, remember to press the like button. Ukufitizela lapha ukubhala ukuthi like, kutinya phaya phakanze like. Ukuthi ngempela ngempela zulukandaba sibona ukuthi sikhona lesi sonke, like so tritose pano pachirongwa chedu cheve chidiki. Also, feel free to write the comments in the comment section, Muriya Zimbabwe. We're going to be reading those comments live on air. Without wasting time, let us delve into tonight's discussion. First up, an update on coronavirus. Now, according to the most recent information released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, Zimbabwe currently has 110,855 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 79,420 recoveries, and 3,635 deaths. Last night alone, 5,286 PCR tests were conducted, 1,309 new cases were detected, 2,755 recoveries, and 52 deaths. Now, of those 52 deaths, 4 are in Bulawayo, Bontuthu Zethunga, 22 in Harare, 7 in Manicaland, 2 in Mashonaland Central, 4 in Mashonaland East, 3 in Mashonaland West, 5 in Midlands, 4 in Masvingo, and 1 in Matabeleland North. The country currently has 27,800 active COVID-19 cases. When we talk about how many people have taken the vaccine to date, 1,674,710 people have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. The amount of people fully vaccinated that's taken both the first and the second jab is currently sitting at 798,880. So those are the latest COVID-19 figures in Zimbabwe. But whilst on the discussion of coronavirus, the World Health Organization recently released a video which gives advice to people living in COVID-19 hotspots. Now, considering the fact that Zimbabwe currently has a lot of those, I figured let's highlight that. The next video we're about to play is for people in Hurungwe, Makonde, Kariba, Bindura, Shamva, Marondera, Koromonzi, Chirezi, Mwenenzi, Kwekwe, and of course, Harare. This video we're about to play is courtesy of the World Health Organization's Twitter page. For those looking to watch it, kindly visit their page.
Three factors can help you make safe choices when you're in an area of widespread COVID-19 transmission. Consider the location, the proximity to others, and the amount of time you spend there. Where does your activity take place? Open air spaces are always safer than enclosed spaces, particularly if they're small or without fresh air. Proximity to other people is also important. It's safest when there are fewer people around and you can keep more than 1 meter apart. How long does your activity last? The shorter, the better. Think about each of these factors and avoid situations where the risk dial is high. Small or poorly ventilated places and crowds of people for long periods of time. Stay safe. Lower the risk to yourself and others.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, that was advised by the World Health Organization, which was targeting educating people on how best to contact themselves when they live in an area that is regarded as a COVID-19 hotspot. Now, earlier on, Muriel Zimbabwe, I mentioned that today we're also going to be focusing on the Mandela Washington Fellowship. That is the predominant discussion we're going to be having tonight on The Connection. Now, for those that do not know, the Mandela Washington Fellowship, this is a flagship program of the United States government under the Young African Leaders Initiative, YALI, as many would know it. This program targets educating and empowering young African leaders. Hundreds of Zimbabweans throughout the time since 2014 have been part of this program. Many of them have become very influential young people, finding themselves in reputable platforms such as the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, amongst them being Gilmore T and Terence Mate, who's going to be joining us tonight on The Connection. Before we head over to our first guest, who's going to be joining us live via Skype, let us hear from the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, who officially opened the 2021 Mandela Washington Fellowship Summit today. Let's take a look.
Hello, everyone. I'm a huge admirer and supporter of the Mandela Washington Fellowship, so I'm delighted to have this chance to speak with you all, especially the 2021 cohort, who represent all 49 sub-Saharan African nations. COVID-19 meant that this year's fellowship had to be virtual, but you still made it great. You took full advantage of every learning and friendship opportunity. We're proud and grateful to be part of your journeys. I remember when we launched the Mandela Washington Fellowship back in 2014. We were so excited about the program because Africa's future rests in the hands of extraordinary young leaders across the continent, and because it's a huge privilege and opportunity to help these extraordinary young leaders achieve their dreams. With this year's cohort, there are now more than 5,000 young leaders across Africa who are alumni of the program. And they're doing outstanding and inspiring work on critical issues, issues that are having an impact on the lives of so many of their fellow Africans, from promoting entrepreneurship and education to supporting democratic reform and a strong civil society. I had a fantastic conversation with Mandela Fellowship alumni on my recent virtual trip to Kenya and Nigeria. We talked about urgent issues like global health and the climate crisis. And I knew I was speaking with the future leaders of communities and countries. I wish I could do a shout out to all of this year's participants individually. But let me just mention a couple, because they represent the concrete and creative ways in which fellows are working to make lasting change. Jawaria Ibrahim is a civic engagement fellow at Appalachian State University. She created an organization that advocates for women's rights in Ethiopia with free mentorship and skills development programs for women. And Amadou Jallo is a public management fellow at UC Davis. He works for the Gambia Standards Bureau, and his goal is to create regulatory frameworks for clean energy technologies to promote more innovation and more jobs in that critical space. I also want to mention an alum who's continued to work with the U.S. State Department since participating in the program, Kaveto Chachara. Kaveto's from Namibia. He was a 2018 business fellow at the University of Notre Dame. And with the help of a grant from the State Department's Citizen Diplomacy Action Fund, he's scaling up his waterless toilet business. Now he'll be able to provide sanitation to another 1,300 kids. Take inspiration from Kaveto and stay connected with us. Think of this as more than just a six-week program. You've just begun to engage with this network. You've just begun to use the new tools you've acquired. This is the beginning of your journey as a Mandela Washington Fellow. We're eager to see all that the future will bring and how the seeds that we planted together will bloom. So let me give a huge thank you to everyone who makes this fellowship possible, including our team here in Washington in the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, our staff at embassies and consulates across Africa, our partners at IREX, the International Research and Exchanges Board, who administer the program, and the 26 colleges and universities across the United States who have hosted our young leaders for the past 6 weeks. This program, of course, is named for Nelson Mandela. He once said that education is the most powerful tool that you can use to change the world. I hope this fellowship has added to your education. I know that getting to know you has added to the education of your teachers, your advisors, your peers. And I believe with all my heart that with the deeper sense of connection and friendship that this fellowship makes possible, our countries and our people will be able to do much more together to build a better future. Thank you all very much. Congratulations.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, that was the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, speaking on the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Ilolu tabesila lokuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo Muriel Zimbabwe, ndiyo nyayathukuzeya nasi mchongwa chelo chevechi liki mabvakunzwa kuna U.S. Secretary of State ava Antony Blinken. Wangu wachitsanangura maonro avo, ivo senyanjumia dzezve matongero enyika uyezve sa Secretary of State, maonro avo nezve kukosha kwechirongwa che Mandela Washington Fellowship. So lisandokuzwa umnumzana uAntony Blinken echasisa okunenge esithi hayi yena ubona ngani kwele Africa it's fertile ground ikakhulukazi nxa sesikhangela abantu abasakhulayo besithi hayi abantu abasakhulayo kwele Africa yibo abalamandla okutshintsha okuguqula isimo hayi isimo semnotho kuphela but nxa sesikhangela indaba zokuhlonishwa kwamalungelo oluntu uthi abantu abasakhulayo ikakhulukazi kwele Africa yibo abalamandla okutshintsha lokhu. So that was the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken. To hear more about the fellowship, we're joined by Lucky Aaron. He is a part of the 2021 cohort. He's also the founder and producer at Bus Stop TV. Many of you know it. If you're a follower of Studio 7, I'm sure you know Bus Stop TV. This is one of Zimbabwe's biggest youth-led entertainment, educational, and satirical platforms. Lucky, welcome to the program, brother. How are you doing? I can't seem to hear your sound there, Lucky. Are you still there? Ah, there you are. How are you doing, man?
Thank you, comrades, mate, for having me here on your platform. Good evening to all viewers and good afternoon to those in America.
Right. Whilst we have you on the show, I need you to pick your camera up a little bit because right now we're looking at your mouth. People can't see you properly. Ah, there you are. But ladies and gentlemen, that's Lucky there. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us, man. Congratulations on making it to the 2021 cohort, man. How does that feel for you, man?
It's been exciting. And also being the first one to do the virtual fellowship has been interesting for us. We thought we would make it, but we decided to take the challenge, and it's been exciting for us.
Now, you touched on the fact that you guys basically are making history. You're the first since 2014 to become the cohort that did everything virtually. Let's delve into that a little bit. How has your experience been throughout this whole time on the fellowship?
You know, when we first heard about us being doing the fellowship online, we were heartbroken. At first, we thought this is not it. This is not what we signed up for. We wanted to be in D.C. and
right.
meet with other African young people and inspire each other physically. We thought it's not possible for us to connect, share that connection visually. But no, it was the experience was the same. We thought, last week when we were doing our last session with other fellows, We feel like, we're becoming family. We've been sharing our stories every day, sharing ideas. It felt like real thing. We didn't feel like we were doing online. Each and every day, we look forward to sharing ideas and learn from other young people across Africa. So, yeah, it's the same thing for us. And actually, more practical because each time, after learning, we'd actually implement some things that we've been learning through the week in our different spaces in our work. But after learning, we would go for a shoot and would implement some of the things that we've been learning throughout the day. So it's a real thing. It's more like your internship.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little more about that, Lucky, in terms of what you guys learned. you are already an established journalist and content producer within your own right, a respectable young person. So what exactly did the YALI program have to offer you that you feel it was necessary for you to be part of this journey?
I think the concept of collaborating, meeting other people, meeting other people and sharing ideas, also it's very important for us to be able to develop our craft. Hearing stories from other countries is very important, and also create room for collaboration for other projects, other ideas, and also able to reach new markets.
So now, let's talk a little more about the whole virtual concept here, Lucky, because I'm really curious about that. As we've highlighted here on the program, you guys are the first cohort to do the entire program virtually. Everyone else has had the ability, not just coming to Washington, but people go to different parts of America. They get to interact in person. They get to learn about things that they encounter and go through here in America. When we talk about you guys being virtual, do you think you guys had the same experience? Were you able to interact easily? Were you able to learn easily?
This part got its own challenges that we need to recognize. Sometimes the internet is very bad, but good thing that every session was recorded. If you miss the last session, you can still watch the two recorded sessions. The biggest takeaway about visual was that issue of after learning something, you actually go and implement in your organization. So that, besides the internet challenges, the key thing of after learning, I would implement some of the things immediately after learning them. So for me, that was exciting.
Now, the most important part of our entire discussion here, Lucky, throughout this whole time, the whole point of you guys being on this fellowship is for you to have a mandate, which is to go back to your communities and educate fellow, especially the youth, educate fellow young people about the fellowship and, of course, empower young people with the knowledge that you've attained. How do you plan on doing this? Is this going to be something easy for you?
Yeah, I've already started doing that. I've already been sharing some of my notes from the fellowship with my colleagues here at Bust of TV. Things like, for example, decision making concepts I've already shared with them. They are really excited about those things. So yeah, it's very possible for us to use these things in our community, in our organization. And the beauty of online, that as I was learning them, I was already sharing with my team. Today we were talking about in our project focus, I was doing making, I was doing critical thinking, those kind of things. So yeah, we've already started sharing with my colleagues, and we hope to do more in communities and other fellows from other countries. Yeah.
Just for our listeners, vanongo taro irumi reshona. Ndanchi kumbro muvatsananguro maondrenyu nezvechirongwa che Mandela Washington Fellowship. Muva udzoka kuti zvizva makasangana nazvo pasipe chirongwa ichi.
Chirongwa che chakatibatsira isizvo zvedu kuno pakusangana ne dzimwe hama dzinobva menyika. Online
Zimbabwe.
Sangwa,
I am coming lucky to not send as you could say. Thank you so much for taking time out. We really appreciate it. And once again, congratulations on making it onto the Yali program. Wish you nothing but the best of luck, man. I hope to have you on the program again soon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, Muriya Zimbabwe, you are hearing there from Lucky Aroni. He is part of the 2021 Mandela Washington Fellowship cohort. Now, you are hearing there once again Zuluganda Balongu, Lucky Aron, osakhulayo oyizalwane seZimbabwe, obe ingxenye yohlelo lolu lwe Mandela Washington Fellowship kulumnyaka. Yena uyintathele izindaba, bengimbuza ngempela uLucky, ngisithi hayi Lucky, bengicela ukuchazisele uZulu ukuthi yena kungani wabona ukuqakathekile ukuthi abe ingxenye yalolu hlelo ngenxa yokuthi yena uLucky, before he was even part of uhlelo lolu Mandela Washington Fellowship, ube ngumuntu okwaziwayo ngempela, ube hlonitshwa njengosakhulayo oyintathelo zendaba, esebenzela inkampani yakhe iBus Stop TV. Kodwa yena uthi hayi, ubona ngani bekuqakathekile ukuthi abe yingxenye yalolu hlelo ngenxa yokuthi uhlelo lolu lukhanya ngani lupha abasakhulayo ithuba lokudlelana labasakhulayo abadabuka kwamanye amazwe, ikakhulukazi abayi abangamakhokheli abadabuka emazweni atshiyeneyo kwele Africa. So limzwile ngempela egqiba lolu lingxoxo, echasisa esithi hayi yena kuyamchaza, kuyamkhuthaza njengosakhulayo ngenxa yokuthi he now has the ability yokuthi abambe ucingo athinte osakhulayo within Zambia, athinte osakhulayo within Sierra Leone, amtshela sithi burwami sengifuna ubuya to Sierra Leone ukuthi ngiyenze phela i-documentary sebekhona abantu abasakhulayo. He now has a network. So now that Muriya Zimbabwe, that was Lucky Aaron. But thank you so much to Lucky for joining us. Now Muriya Zimbabwe, yesterday I managed to catch up with a Yali alumni who's also part of the presidential precinct where Lucky is based. At the time when he came to America on the fellowship, he was one of Zimbabwe's youngest councillors. He went on to form the Youth Forum Zimbabwe, which inspired and pushed for youth across the board to participate in issues pertaining to governance. Here we're talking about Godfrey Kuraone, a very influential young person in Zimbabwe politics. Let us head over to my conversation that I had with Godfrey Kuraone about the Mandela Washington Fellowship.
The Young African Leaders Initiative program, which you call YALI, I think, to me, I think it's a it's a lifetime, one lifetime opportunity that one should get to experience. Because that program, it's an eye-opener of a new world that you maybe never or have not been experienced, maybe during your lifetime. It's a program that creates opportunities for you, one, to network with other African leaders from different countries. It allows you to network with other leaders from different continents, from America, from Asia, from Africa, and so forth. It also, in short, I can say, maybe it widens your network.
I remember when you were here, one thing you really boasted about, as we touched on, is that you were in Zimbabwean history, you're the youngest councillor, or the youngest person to ever achieve the councillor seat at that time. Since then, how has the skills that you've learned and the Yali cohort helped you in your political career and, of course, in your work within helping other young people?
You know what? I want to believe, Mike, that I inspired a lot of young people, because you agree with me that in 2018 elections, there was a massive increase in the number of young people running for public office. If you still remember the address that I gave during my time with Yali,
yes,
I addressed the issue of young people running for public office.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that in 2018, after that program, a lot of young people ran for public office. Mm-hmm. And as we speak right now, there is a lot of young people in councils, there's a lot of young people in parliament, which I believe that somehow our program, which we ran as a youth forum Zimbabwe, a program dubbed Not Too Young to Run, because after that program, I went to Zimbabwe under the organization which I lead called Youth Forum Zimbabwe. We ran a campaign, Not Too Young to Run, a program which encouraged young people to run for public office, of which I believe that those are some of the fruits of that program.
Chombo zenya ine rimi rwamaitichi pete edu rukuredu mkoma Godfrey. Ndani kubro kutumuto uwa teneri jisere nezwa makasana na nazo pamamaru kuno kwa Amerika. Uyeje, mwota nanguro kushaka kubatira isei munoronde se muru weko zero te wanu. Uyeje, so munu wachingati wachidiki, politician are munu wachidiki.
Program ye yali, wano eti Young Leaders, Young African Leaders Initiative. Ndakaona ino yakati batira zvizhinji, kana kuti inobatsira vanhu zvizhinji, kuti inopa vechidiki mukana wekusangana nevamwe vechidiki vekudzimwe nyika muchigoverana mazano, inopa mukana wekusangana nevechidiki vekudzimwe nyika muchiumba ushamwari wekuti mangwana paunoda kuita ingava programu yako pausinganzwisisi paya wakaumba madzishamwari kudhara unomabata wamabvunza kuti pakati kunyika yenyu munoita sei, pakati kunyika yenyu munoita sei. So iprogramu inobatanidza mazano akasiyana-siyana muAfrica mose, yovaisa pamwe chete, yomasanganisa, yokupa mukana wekuti chisarudza pane OCR chisarudza aunoda. So ndingangoti iprogramu inobatsira kuumba mazano, iprogramu inobatsira even kuumba munhu in terms of utungamiri hwako iwewe kuti ungori mutungamiri wakaita sei, unaga mutungamiri wakaita sei.
Well, Muri Zimbabwe, Zulukandapa Mtoka Zomuse, you are hearing there from Godfrey Crowone, 2017 Mandela Washington Fellowship alumni, Yali alumni, speaking on the importance of Uhlelo Lwe Mandela Washington Fellowship. Now, earlier on, Muri Zimbabwe, I mentioned Terence Mate. He is part of the 30 Under 30 Forbes list in 2019. He's also part of the 2021 Mandela Washington Fellowship. He's joining us live via Skype to tell us more. Terence Mate, welcome to the program, bro. How you doing?
I'm fine, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. You look good. It's been a minute since we've had you on the show, man.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Let's delve into it, man. Congratulations on making it onto Yali. You were very, seeing your name on the list was very intriguing for me, and I'll explain why. Generally, a lot of people that come onto this program that I've interacted with, at the very least, are people who don't have a background of, I guess for a lack of a better word, I'll say being part of reputable programs. You are already on a reputable list, the Forbes 30 Under 30. So I was really curious to see what exactly about the YALI program sparked interest in a person like yourself who already was established, already was respected as a young entrepreneur. So tell us a little more about that. Please explain that part specifically for me.
You can never stop learning. And to me, that was the most important thing. And as an individual running a company in Zimbabwe and the YALI program being affiliated with America, I felt like I could take that as an opportunity to learn more about how American corporations have been able to grow and how they've managed to realize new business opportunities. Mm-hmm. So even though I may be established in my industry, I did see it as an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm. So let's continue the conversation on what exactly you learned. Please tell us a little more about that. And we're going to talk about your experiences a little later, but let's start off with what you learned.
Okay. Well, my industry is waste management.
Mm-hmm.
And in Zimbabwe, we are currently struggling. There's lots of waste everywhere. And when you go to the developed world, the issue of waste collection is a problem they solved a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond waste collection, they developed significantly in terms of developing their recycling capabilities and also coming up with different programs and setting up different plants that have to do with converting waste to energy.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just things that I'd heard on the internet and on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my request when I joined the fellowship was that those were areas of interest for me that I would wanted to learn from American corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So through the fellowship, they were able to link me with professors at universities who've done such projects,
mm-hmm.
and also some executives and some businesses who've actually implemented such projects.
Mm-hmm.
So it was truly beneficial to me.
I like that. So now let's talk a little more about your experience here. And earlier on, I was speaking to Lucky, and I'm also a little curious about that. You guys were, some will say fortunate, some will say unfortunate. You're the first co-host to actually have the entire thing on a virtual platform, which means on one side, you get to stay safe from COVID. But from another side, you don't get to experience what other co-hosts were able to experience. So talk to me a little more about the interaction period. How was it hosting this whole thing virtually? And do you feel like you were able to get the same experience that was promised when you applied to the program?
What I can say is, I mean, naturally when we applied to the program, it was going to be an in-person program. We were going to travel to America. And, I mean, going virtual was a natural disappointment. But, I mean, when that opportunity was given for us to continue, even though virtual, I mean, it now became an issue of you making the most of it. But, I mean, maybe to quickly break down how the program would run.
Please do.
Yeah, there was the weekly meeting with everyone, Africans, part of the program across the week. And then all of us were affiliated with a particular institute, which means after some time, you would break out and meet other people in your particular track.
Mm-hmm.
So as an entrepreneur, I was in the business track,
mm-hmm.
which means I got to interact with other African entrepreneurs across the planet. Across the African continent.
Right.
And then, afterwards, because we all had particular areas of interest within that business grouping, we were then linked to mentors, who could then help us take our different businesses to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the benefit and making the most of it then worked was, if I was in America, it means everything was going to be theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
But me being in Zimbabwe and being on the ground with relation to my business, my mentor, who is doing what I would want to do, then being in America, would give me pointers at the beginning of the week, And I would have the opportunity to go to my business, implement, and after a week or two, we have another call, and we've got real-time feedback.
Okay.
So in as much as I was not there in person, I mean, it did create an opportunity to make the most of the situation and implement things as we go.
So now let's talk a little more in terms of the interaction process there. Was it easy to make colleagues? Because that's pretty much the whole point, is for you to interact with people who are young leaders in their own right from different countries in Africa. But I can only imagine if I was part of this, after the virtual conference, I'm probably closing my laptop.
There were many opportunities to network, it being virtual. There were WhatsApp groups, and there were continuous Zoom calls. So within the first week, definitely it was difficult. After the call, people would definitely log off. But with time, and as people continued to share more about what they were doing, all of that became areas of interest, such that even after the one-hour call, people would continue on the call and chat. Share notes. People would tell. I mean, people would share what they were up to that day. People, would take us through cooking class to say, this is what we had for dinner. This is how we prepared this meal. So there were so much cultural exchanges that then made everything very personal and allowed people to build lasting bonds and try and bridge that. Technical or that distance divide because everything was virtual.
Okay. Well, now, as we're about to wrap up here on our conversation, Terrence, let's talk a little more about your company. How has what you have learned going to, how is it going to apply in your company, Southern Incendiary Services in Zimbabwe? You work with waste management, which, like you said, is already there, which some would argue is an opportunity, but how is it going to apply, considering the difference in environments in Zimbabwe and America?
Okay. As I said, the mentor that I had is someone who is already in this track in terms of waste management. Now, for them, they deal with all sorts of waste. Because I'm in incineration, I deal particularly with non-recyclable waste, which is the waste that the only thing you can do to it is to destroy it. Now, for them, they're in the non-recyclable waste together with recyclable waste. So our eight exchanges were predominantly on how I can grow beyond dealing with non-recyclable waste and implement recycling, but also with regards to the non-recyclable waste that I'm incinerating, how exactly I can work towards a waste-to-energy plant. Because through incineration, we create a lot of heat through the process, and that heat is lost to the environment. And through practical illustrations, him taking you through a virtual tour of your different plants, him connecting you with different manufacturers and equipment suppliers across the world, it brings that practical elements to it, how to then come up with a proposal, to then look for funding, how to do a feasibility study, to set up the challenges they had setting up and how I could avoid certain pitfalls. It then puts everything into perspective, and it means that I can then avoid certain mistakes that others fell into because I have the benefit of their mindset and their experience.
So, Terrence, let's talk a little more about the environment there, because obviously it's your expertise there. To what extent would you say that all these issues are impacting Zimbabwe when we talk about waste management?
Okay. If you walk around any neighborhood, but particularly within the city, you see a lot of waste around. Now, besides the health issues that come about with the waste not being collected. It's natural. I mean, it also destroys the natural beauty of the environment. So it then brings everything into context to say it then shows the importance of an effective and efficient system of waste collection and waste management. So that definitely is an important aspect, and it shows the importance of the work that is ahead. And that, I mean, this is definitely something I have to run with, because the problem is there, and the working solution is definitely required.
Well, Terrence, we really appreciate your input. We really appreciate you having you on the program, man. Unfortunately, our time is up here. But once again, congratulations, and I look forward to having you again on the show soon as we catch up and follow through on this journey that you started with Yali.
Thank you for hosting me.
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Terrence Mate. He is the founder of a waste management company based in Zimbabwe. He is part of the 2021 Yali cohort. And of course, Muriel Zimbabwe, as I mentioned earlier on, he was part of the 2019 Forbes 30 Under 30 list. So thank you there to Terrence for joining us. And now, before we head over to my next guest, who's joining us live via telephone, Vusumuzi Mkwananzi, is the founder of My Run. I want to head over to another clip that we have, courtesy of the presidential precinct. Now, the next clip you're about to watch is young people, young Africans across the board, explaining more about the importance of the Yali program. Let's take a look.
The Mandela Washington Fellowship is a life-changing opportunity because it has given me what I look for everywhere I go, is education, access to knowledge. Because I know and I feel by having access to knowledge, by knowing you can impact, by knowing you can make decisions for yourself.
My experience at the presidential precinct tells me that there are issues out there and we have got an obligation to be involved and find solutions to the problems of our country.
Since we left the fellowship and came back to our countries back at home, there are very few days that go by without us connecting with each other. On a weekly basis, we are still connected. We share our challenges. We ask for advice amongst our group. I think a bond like that is something that is irreplaceable. And the precinct has allowed us that platform and opportunity.
It's all to the good of these countries, and it's also really important that the U.S. play a role in helping inspire young leaders. We've got a lot to offer. We've got a lot to learn. But if we can play a role in inspiring young leaders, it will have benefits that will last for decades.
The experience I got with Mandela Washington Fellow and with Presidential Precinct specifically has given me an opportunity to really become someone, become a leader who people get to listen to.
Currently, right now, because of that forum, I have a lot of contacts that I can access in different countries. I know that if I go to Nigeria, I have a fellow who I was with at the precinct who can assist me with certain things. If I want to go access Zambia, I have a fellow, Cameroon, you name it.
This is really the birthplace of modern democracy. I mean, of course, our democratic institutions had antecedents in Greece. What happened here was a commitment to building institutions that were stronger than individuals. Now, you still need strong individuals to be leaders, but the strongest thing you can do as a leader is not make it about your individual self. You try to strengthen the institutions that can then last.
I will go back home. I will share about what I've learned. And I want other Africans to also have this opportunity.
There are 24 other fellows from different African countries who are doing exceptional work. Makes me realize I can do more. I can do more. There's really much more to be done.
Will you take hope back to your countries in Africa? Will you take some joy back on making change? Will you be the promise of tomorrow? Will you move the ark of God?
Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, that was a video there courtesy of the presidential precinct. Bechasisa ngempela intsha abantu abasakhulayo abavela kwamanye amazwe hatshi kwele Zimbabwe kuphela. Sibona uMnumzana uTsika Mayibere osakhulayo odabuka kwele Zimbabwe, kodwa bekulabanye abavela kwele Nigeria lakwamanye amazwe bechasisa umbono wabo mayelana ngokuqakatheka kwalolu hlelo. And now joining us live via telephone from Zimbabwe is Vusumuzi Mkwananzi. Earlier on, you heard from Terrence Mate and Aaron, Lucky Aroni. Both of them are part of the 2021 Mandela Washington Fellowship. But it's important that we bring people who are past part of our past cohorts. He is a Yali alumni, Wabuyala, in 2019. We're catching up with him to see how the Yali program has helped him. Vusumuzi Mkwananzi is the founder of Mairana. Mkwananzi, welcome to the program, Bafo. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
So it's been a good two, almost 3 years now since you've been on the Yali program. And throughout that time, I've seen your business grow and grow and grow. I was actually giggling by myself the other day thinking, even under COVID, every time I refresh my program on Facebook, I see Vusumuzi Mkwananzi has opened a new office somewhere in Zimbabwe. Tell us a little more about that. How has the Yali program helped Mairana and you as an entrepreneur?
No, thank you so much. I mean, obviously, we are very grateful. We always get a chance to share our story. The Yali program has just been an inspiration. I mean, we've been getting a lot of fruit from that. We knew that one trip can really be not only now, it didn't only transform my life, but now I think it's transformed the life of a lot of people in my community, in the business. Mm-hmm. It's been a fantastic journey.
Now, let's talk a little more about how you have learned, you've been able to implement some of these things. How have you been able to use the lessons that you've gone on the Yali program to uplift youth around you and, of course, empower Mairana as an institution, as a company?
Okay, so thank you for that question. I think one of the key things that I learned is that business is not only about profit. And the other thing that I've learned is really focusing on using entrepreneurship to solve real problems faced by our communities. And then the other thing is to really acknowledge, there are a lot of things that are very difficult at the moment in the country. Things are very hard. But at the same time, you need to use whatever resource that you have in your hands to make that difference. You can't, as a leader, only complain. You need to come with the role that you need to play. For me, that has been one thing that I learned from the program. Mm-hmm. That if somebody else can do it, I can do it. If I myself, I can do it, then I can also do it.
So that our Ndebele audience also understand how has he been able to learn. Mandela Washington Fellowship.
Kwesinye isikhathi kumele ukhangele nje ngikhayena wena lawa amaviki besegwanda ngingawutshela ukuthi ukuyamukela esikwenzileyo khona ngale ngabantu kuyedlula esikubonayo kwesinye isikhathi kwamanye ama-town amakhulu. So i-program le ingifundise ukuthi nxa usenza ibhizimusi, yenza ibhizimusi encedisa abantu, ungakhangeli kuphela i-profit kuphela, but khangeli i-impact layo kwansi ukuthi uyenze empilweni zabantu, empilweni zabanye abayenza ibhizinisi njengawe. Ngathi yinto enkulu engayifundayo, sibona indlela abanye ababesenza ngayo amabhizinisi abavela kwamanye amazwe. Singakhangela mina ngathi ngifika ku-program le sasingama-branch amabili eZimbabwe kuphela, banakhesi ama-branch esefika 13. Kumaviki amabili alandelayo esikhangelethi phela siseLusaka. So hayi, siyabonga. And khonapho eLusaka ngincediswe ngamanye amafelo engangihlangane labo. Labanye amafelo engangihlangane labo kuyena le iviki engikhuluma ngayo, ukhona omnyaka le-2018 okuthiwa ngu-GIF. Ikampani yabo isifakile imali kumayirana ukuthi sincedisane ukuthi sikwanise ukuthuthukisa. Labanye omonika ababuyile sebesijoyinile ngamanye amafelo lawo engangihlangane labo khona ngale sibonisane ngoba labo bathi hayi iziviki yenzwa imarana bayithakalezela asikhokheleni imisonkeni. So kuyangijabulisa kakhulu.
Mm-hmm. Now, in closing, Vusumuzi, I want to talk about the difference in environments because that seems to be the biggest discussion here. When you came to America, you were in one environment where some would argue is conducive for all the policies that they taught you. What does this Kangela Gwele Zimbabwe? It's a whole different environment. It's a whole different country. The way that things done are done differently. How were you able to use the lessons you took from America to uplift your businesses and the youth around you in a completely different environment?
Okay, so thank you very much. To be honest, the environment sometimes it can be shocking. I'll just give you an example. You know, in Chinoy, when we opened a branch, one of the licensees just for the country, $600, and you have to pay. We opened mid-year, but you still have to pay that license regardless for the whole year and then for the next. And then in other towns, it's different. So already even though the environment is very hard, they are very local, very difficult context throughout. And then when you compare it to the States, look, when I went to the States, we had to open up Marijuana in the company there in a short space of time, things function. Here, sometimes when you just want to maybe get a lawyer, maybe to structure things in the business, it costs you quite a lot. So those different environments sometimes really pay. But I think the biggest lesson is that things can be better. I know I've seen it somewhere. I've seen that this is not right, or this is not how things should be. So at the end of the day, you're inspired to say, I'm going to make a difference because I've seen that this is not all it is. And there is a whole new, different way of doing things. You know, so you get this pain and this drive to say, I just have to continue. Sometimes it's very painful, Mike. I won't like you. Extremely discouraging, but I will press on.
Well, thank you so much, Vusumuzi. Unfortunately, isikhathi sesidlule mangoye before. We have one more person that we need to take. So thank you. We really appreciate your input. And once again, congratulations on all the progress you've been able to make in your career and, of course, as the founder of MyRunner.
Thank you so much for having us. And thank you to all the listeners for listening to our story and this time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Muriel Zimbabwe, there's another package that I wanted to run. There's not enough time. So let's head over to my next guest who's joining us live via telephone. In the interest of gender equality, I'm really excited having her. She's someone who works really hard in protecting the interests of the disabled community in Zimbabwe, Samantha Sbanda. Masbanda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No, it's always awesome having you on the show. It's always awesome. So you also are Yali alumni. You are part of the cohort, actually probably the last cohort to come to America. The 2021 cohort couldn't make it due to COVID-19. But let's talk a little more about your experiences. I'm sure people are curious. Ukuthi, what exactly did Masbanda go through when she was in America? Tell us a little more about that.
So for me, it was really a life-changing experience because I saw a lot of people. I met a lot of people in our cohort as well as American people who are doing work in the field of disability. Mm-hmm. I remember meeting senators, meeting governors. It was really a life-changing experience, Mike, because in my work, I deal a lot with parliamentarians and other policymakers. So that conversation with American policymakers really changed the way that I approach advocacy, even in terms of disability. Mm-hmm. And the other people I met in my cohort were young applicants from other countries, Zambia, South Africa. There were a lot. I think there were around 15 to 19 countries that were represented in our cohort. So I could learn how other countries are advocating for rights of people with disabilities. I could learn from personal experiences of people. So, yeah, it was really great. And I also started to record a mini documentary that I want to show in Zimbabwe, showing accessibility and the differences in education that children with disabilities in America are exposed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little more about that. And it's something that I briefly touched on with Vusumuzi, and I'm also curious to hear your thoughts on that. One thing you highlighted in our radio interview that we had earlier on, Namhlanje, was that here in America, the way that people approach the disabled community is completely different to the way that people approach the disabled community in Zimbabwe. And so considering the fact that you learned all this in a very conducive environment where things are done one way, how were you able to adapt this in Zimbabwe to help the disabled community?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things that I started to do was to film, because there were a lot of reasonable accommodations that they put for children with disabilities. For example, the parking is accessible. There's space for people with disabilities to park, even in the university campus. And then all the doors, they can open from both sides. So if you're a person who uses a wheelchair, you can easily push. There are very simple and reasonable accommodations that are made, even on transport and et cetera. So it amazed me, and I started to record. And so, I hope that I can show people to have an idea, because I think sometimes if we can't actually put the idea into our head, to implement it is really difficult. So it was a good thing that I managed to film some of those things so that I can show the community in Zimbabwe. There were some things that were really tough. I remember getting into this other library. I just cried, you know. It was too much for me, you know. As much as you would want some knowledge that you can take back home, but there are some things that you can just see that I might fail in doing something like this, to record or doing this. Yeah, it was really quite difficult for me. There were some things that I felt this wouldn't be achievable right now, even though I wished, yeah.
So now, Iskas, you said it's Leung Mangoy Maswanda, so let's quickly wrap up here. But in closing, we have all these young people who have graduated from the 2021 class, and they're expected to use all this knowledge that they've attained to uplift their businesses and uplift their communities. What words of advice would you have for them, seeing as though you've been part of this journey and you've continuously walked it?
The Mandela Washington Fellowship, I would say to the new fellows, it's a lifelong relationship that you have built. You have built with other young leaders. You have built with some of the American people that you have met during the fellowship. They were so kind to us, and we are looking forward to many more opportunities to network and to do work together. So I want to tell people that they should take the relationships that they made seriously. Don't just take business cards for the sake of taking them. Don't just take numbers for the sake of taking them. I know that those numbers are going to be useful to everyone. So make sure that you follow up on the networks that you have built. They are really, really lifelong, and I've seen it working for many people, including myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Masibanda, siyabonga kakhulu isikhathi sesidlule ngibangwebe ngicela ukuphosela amazwi akho okugcina ngolwimi lwesiNdebele.
Okay, ngiyabonga kakhulu ngethuba endiphiweyo. Into engayinanzelelayo ukuthi kwesinye isikhathi njengomuntu omutsha, uyabungela ama-resources, uyabungela mali, uyabungela sikolo. So kusuka kube nzima ukuthi ufeze amaphupho akho. Kodwa ngifuna ukukhuthaza abanye bami ukuthi asibambeleleni emaphusheni ethu. Our dreams are so valid. Ngiyakhumbula something that is really usually said ukuthi black child, your dreams are valid. They are indeed valid, and the moment ozathola khona opportunity, seriously, I also regret the way that over the pangkon. So I want to say, let's keep on dreaming, let's keep on making the best step ukuthi iproject yakho iyenzakale.
Mm-hmm. Well, Masibanda, thank you so much for taking time out. We really appreciate you. Unfortunately, time is up. So siyabonga kakhulu. Thank you so much for taking time out to be with us.
Thank you so much, Mike, for having me. Siyabonga kakhulu.
Well, Zimbabwe Muhle, that was Samantha Sibanda. She's the founder of Signs of Hope in Zimbabwe. And, of course, she is a 2019 Mandela Washington Fellowship YALI alumni. Wena nokalam samuri eSimbabwe umthokozo omuhle. We had Yali alumni and people part of the 2021 cohort panel from Wachelu. Let's meet same time, same place, lapha kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. I go by the name of Michael Hove. For those looking to chat with me, at BigMike3, BigMyke3 on Twitter and Instagram. Anokoneka inemfaro, ndinwe nyumuri eSimbabwe, kama ngumike Hove. Bye-bye!